They take care of the shower settings for me, and they go to work on my hair, nails, and makeup when I'm done. They chatter so continuously that I barely have to reply, which is good, since I don't feel very talkative. It's funny, because even though they're rattling on about the games, it's all about where they were and what they were doing or how they felt when a specific event occurred. I was still in bed. I had just had my eyebrows dyed. I swear I nearly fainted. Everything is about them, not the dying boys and girls in the arena. We don't wallow around in the games this way in District 12. We grit our teeth and watch because we must, and try to get back to business as soon as possible when they're over. To keep from hating the prep team, I effectively tune out most of what they're saying. Cinna comes in with what appears to be an unassuming yellow dress across his arms. "Have you given up the whole girl on fire thing?" I ask. "You tell me," he says, and slips it over my head. I immediately notice the padding over my breasts, adding curves that the hunger has stolen from my body. My hands go to my chest, and I frown. "I know," says Cinna before I can object, "but the game makers wanted to alter you surgically. Haymitch had a huge fight with them over it. This was the compromise." He stops me before I can look at my reflection. "Wait, don't forget the shoes." Venia helps me into a pair of flat leather sandals, and I turn to the mirror. I am still the girl on fire. The sheer fabric softly glows. Even the slight movement in the air sends a ripple up my body. By comparison, the chariot costume seems garish. The interview dress too contrived. In this dress, I give the illusion of wearing candlelight.
"What do you think?" asks Cinna.
"I think it's the best yet," I say. When I manage to pull my eyes away from the flickering fabric, I'm in for something of a shock. My hair's loose, held back by a simple hairband. The makeup rounds and fills out the sharp angles of my face. A clear polish coats my nails. The sleeveless dress is gathered at my ribs, not my waist, largely eliminating any help the padding would have given my figure. The hem falls just to my knees. Without heels, you can see my true stature. I look, very simply, like a girl, a young one, 14 at the most, innocent, harmless. Yes, it is shocking that Cinna has pulled this off when you remember I've just won the games. This is a very calculated look. Nothing Cinna designs is arbitrary. I bite my lip trying to figure out his motivation. "I thought it'd be something more sophisticated looking," I say.
"I thought Peter would like this better,"
he answers carefully. "Peter? No, it's not about Peter. It's about the capital and the game makers and the audience." Although I do not yet understand Cinna's design, it's a reminder the games are not quite finished. And beneath his benign reply, I sense a warning of something he can't even mention in front of his own team. We take the elevator to the level where we trained. It's customary for the victor and his or her support team to rise from beneath the stage. First, the prep team, followed by the escort, the stylist, the mentor, and finally, the victor. Only this year, with two victors who both share an escort and a mentor, the whole thing has had to be rethought. I find myself in a poorly lit area under the stage. A brand new metal plate has been installed to transport me upward. You can still see small piles of sawdust, smell fresh paint. Cinna and the prep team peel off to change into their own costumes and take their positions, leaving me alone. In the gloom, I see a makeshift wall about 10 yards away and assume Peter's behind it.